You are now tuned in to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and we are here for our TV movie special. You know, we've been doing series, and we've been doing movies, and we've been doing box office movies, but this one was a little special for us that we definitely wanted to talk about. It is called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And my co-host is here with me,
hello, Alicia. Hello.
So we really wanted to have a discussion on this because we read the book a couple of years ago.
Yes, we did. I think we did it on a cruise.
Yeah, so prior to the cruise, we were talking about it and we had some information. And, you know, and I was doing a study because I was writing a book and I saw that there was cells that didn't die that I was like, so where did that come from? And then I would start doing my research and then it come to find out there was a woman whose cells were immortal. So as it's dead, they can rejuvenate it and go from there. But it came from this woman, Henrietta Lacks. What kind of information did you get, baby? Prior to this movie.
I remember you when you was doing it and you was like, oh my God, baby, you need to read this book. We need to find this book for me so we can read it. And so I found a book and we decided to both read it at the same time when we was on the cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those books you could not put down. It was so vivid.
Yeah. So it was funny because Alicia said, yeah, we saw another movie like this. I was like, no, we didn't.
How many times I said that to you?
We read the book.
Yes.
She was like, are you sure?
Yes.
I said, we read the book. The book was so vivid to the point that you would see everything.
Yes, it was.
So the premise of all of this, and we'll go into the details of it, of the movie, because it was slightly different. They did a good job, but it was slightly different than what the actual movie and book was. But Henrietta Lacks was a African-American woman who lived in Virginia, and she was having children and, you know, had her family, but she contracted cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And when she contracted cancer, they was treating her.
Yeah, it was cervical cancer.
Yeah, it was cervical.
Cervical, yes.
Yeah, it was cervical cancer. And she went through the process. They couldn't save her, radiation treatment, so on and so forth. But when they was testing her cells, come to find out these cells were pretty much, that cancer cells were still pretty much alive.
All right. So what happened really was that they took a piece of her tumor. And that's when they did the research, and that's when they found out that the cells never died.
Mm-hmm.
From the cancer tumor.
Yeah, so what is called the scientific term is called cultured. These cells were cultured and they created a cell line known as HeLa. And why did they say HeLa? It's because they couldn't use a person's name, because if they used her name, then she would be owning it, or the family own it, or whatever from there. So HeLa, H-E, is from Henrietta, and L-A is from her last name, Lacks. And even throughout the time they was using it, they changed the name and was calling her something totally different. They tried to keep it so they have no association to actually the Lacks family. And at the same time, the Lacks family was, you know, they were having medical problems, but they got no money or anything.
It's more mental issues. Mental issues, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was more than mental. They had like high blood pressure. Right. They had all types of different things.
Okay.
And it was so when you read the book, you see what the medical establishment does just for its own advancement. they started lending her cells out around the world.
They were charging people.
No, at first they was lending them out so they can test and say, does it work for this? Right. Does it work for that? And a lot of people was like, oh, let me try it. Let me try it. And then when the pharmaceuticals and the other you know, medical establishments said, I can let you have some of mine, but you got to pay me. So it just went from one level to the next level. And then people started paying. And it was like treatment for any and everything. There's hardly anything with diseases that's out right now that didn't use the HeLa cell line.
Right. So, I mean, talking about the family and how the actual book got started, It was because of a white woman who found out that her father was sick and realized that they mentioned something about Henrietta cells. And that's how she started to get her curiosity into finding more about where the cell came from.
Yeah, because she was a freelance writer.
Yeah, she was broke and struggling.
But she felt that this was something that people need to know about. And she wanted to write about it. She didn't know how big it was, but she was like, this is just something I would love to write about.
Yeah, I mean, it was so interesting how you got the back end of the story, you know, because she wrote the story as she was going through it in the book, which was really, really good, because it almost felt like she didn't write a scientific book. No, she wrote about the family and how she felt that everybody needed to know where these cells came from.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it came from a person.
Yeah.
This was not an unknown substance that, you know, kind of just showed up out of nowhere and people marketed it or what's the word when you trademark it or whatever. No, this was from a woman, and they tried to, even on top of that, and then this is how where the book is going. We didn't get into the movie yet, but how the book was going, they was testing the children.
Right.
And they were lying to them and said, right, we just want to make sure you don't have cancer.
Right.
And they kept testing them, but they really wanted to find
a correlation to the
HeLa,
right,
the cells.
Exactly.
Like their mother had.
Right.
And then they say, hey, we can use them, but it never materialized in any way.
Because it was not her cell, it was the cancer, it was the tumor. That was what they were building. So
tumors come from cancer.
Yeah, well,
so
I understand.
Yeah, cell is a tumor.
But that's how her cells just kept regenerating
from the tumor.
Yeah,
not from her actual good cells. So it wasn't from good cells.
Exactly, and that was so interesting because everybody was saying, okay, it's the blood. It's
so like a cell or a microbe.
Exactly.
No, it was from the actual tumor. So when her body produced this tumor, it stayed alive.
Yes.
So it wasn't her good cells. It was this cancerous cell tumor that actually helped to do all of these things. But it was so when we read it, it made you really angry at the way the medical establishment tests people
without telling
them what they're doing.
Hell yeah.
And then profit from it without giving anything from the people who they're getting it from.
Because
now they ask you, hey, are you relinquishing your rights?
Yes,
Here's some tests that we're doing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because of what happened there.
Yeah, I think it's the HIPAA laws.
Something like that. But, you know, another thing was, let's go to the family part of it. Like, the story, the people she interviewed, she basically interviewed, like, friends and family. And they thought that she was amazing. Henrietta Lacks was this amazing woman who gave back to the community.
Yeah, she did a lot for the community. She was and you can read it through the book, even though they showed it on the movie. You read it through the book. She was a loving woman.
Yes.
She took care of whoever came to the home. Mm-hmm. She had people who slept on the floor who didn't have a place to stay.
Yeah, everybody was a cousin.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So she cooked for people.
Yes.
She was just such a loving woman, and it was like weird. And she married her like second cousin. Or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, that was interesting because in the book, it was like that was that happened a lot.
No, so that's when you stay in the same community and things in that matter. If you're not a direct descendant, it's kind of like things like that do happen. But it's kind of weird now.
But in the book,
it's incest. That's
yeah.
So
but in the book, it was normal. It was normal. And you know, back then, they're like, it wasn't an issue because that's how they did it. And that you know, she had, what was it, 3 boys and 2 girls.
Yeah, 3 boys and 2 girls.
And one of the girls was in a mental institution.
She was mentally retarded.
Right.
Or she was had mental issues that she wasn't really growing like she should have. She didn't really, she said, she wouldn't talk until she was about 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the book was saying, here's the background about these people. So the book.
Again, the writer.
What she wrote was to make sure you understand these were people.
Right.
This was a family. These are people that this happened to.
Right.
And she wanted to make sure not just the science of all of it, because the book got into a lot more science stuff, which I kind of enjoyed, because then I understood exactly how they was taking advantage of it. Because they start talking about the doctors that actually did it. They only briefly did that in the movie. But those 2 doctors were some fucked up people.
Yeah, I remember it was John Hopkins.
But the John Hopkins is the hospital.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, the hospital, I wanted people to know that's the hospital that took
that they work for.
Yeah, yeah.
So the doctors, the one main one was George Otto Gay. And then it was an Asian doctor too that was working with them. And even in the book, when she went back, they really didn't care for a while, but then they felt bad because they see how it affected the family.
Yeah,
they see that they took advantage of her.
They sure
even
did.
Though the benefits of science outweigh the individual, you still didn't show the respect to the family. And the family was living, you know, in not squalor, but
poverty, really.
They
bad.
Was poverty, and you know, one of the child had really emotional issues, and he was in jail, and he was abused in all types of ways.
Now remember, let's explain how that happened. You know, the fact that their father was never there
because he was always working.
Right,
and then he was working at a steel mill, I think, in Maryland.
Right, a little further out.
Yeah, and they were staying back in
this small town, which he remarried. Who his wife then abused the children and then had her boyfriend come in and abuse them as well.
I think it was her cousin or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was abusing the girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his family I think Henrietta's sister or one of them came over. Not a sister. Her
best friend.
Her brother's wife came over and took the kids away and went from there. So the father was almost oblivious of what was going on and everything.
Yeah,
because he was working and he was trying to do that. And even when they were young kids, they couldn't see their mother. They could just see her from the window.
Yeah.
And the book was so, I'm saying, we talk about the book because the book was more vivid than the movie. You had so much details that you can say, this is what they forgot. This is what they forgot. So as we said all of this, the movie kind of centered on the daughter, the one daughter that survived, which the one that died was called Elsie. And the oldest daughter who really pushed to have her mother really known and become somebody was Deborah.
Right. Okay. Now, Deborah, I mean, that was some deep shit with Deborah.
What do you mean?
The mental issue, the stress of wanting to know who her mother was, because it was like the older brothers knew, and the father knew, but it was just that for her, that was just not enough.
So they kind of hid that from her. And if you saw and if you remember the book, there were so many people lying to them. So they would want to know something and they lied.
Mm-hmm.
They would want to know something or they hid it. That one guy who went around just kind of taking advantage and suing doctors and everything, he came over there and sued them too, because he wanted to take advantage of and sue Hopkins Hospital and the staff in there. But when they said, we don't want to deal with you, he turned around and tried to sue them. So they didn't trust anybody, and they didn't get the information about their mother. So she was obsessed by saying, I don't trust anybody because what I'm hearing is a lie.
Yeah, because, but you could see the, I mean, from the book and the movie, you see that there was so much mental issues mm-hmm. with her because of the things she went through, you know, being right. raped, you know, and then, you know, trying to get information. Her brothers are, you know, was telling her, you know, something wrong with you.
No, I just think it was mental issues. I don't think that caused that. I think she truly had mental issues, mm-hmm. but it was exacerbated because of the stress of not knowing. So she had a lot of not knowing. And the brothers was like, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. You know, they did enough to our mother. And she was like, my mother's on the moon. She said, no, your cells are there. No, they said she's physically on the moon, and they cloned her. No. So they was getting so much bad information.
Yeah, because
she got paranoid.
Yeah, she did.
And she was like going crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a lot. And, I mean, it's almost that when, you know, reading the book, you were experiencing with her. You know, what she was going through, because you was like, okay, why are you treating me this way? You know, I felt that way when I was reading the book, like, well, why can't I get the answers I need? You know, it was really hard. And I really felt, Rebecca, who's the writer, Rebecca Scope, I think it was Scoop.
Yeah, Scope.
Yeah, something like that. But she did
an amazing job.
Yeah, she did, because she, you know, she was that person there with them. Now the movie, I think that I understand why Oprah probably did the movie, because mm-hmm. it needed to be done. But it also, when you see the movie, that made, just for those people who didn't read the book, would make you either go and find out more, which was get the book or get an audiobook to find out more.
Get pissed off and said, I don't want to see this. They just make black people look bad.
Yeah,
because
or
that's kind of the feedback, you know, I was hearing.
The white woman always look good.
Right. But this white woman, wasn't for her, you wouldn't be hearing about it right now.
You wouldn't even know about it.
You would hear about the HeLa cells without the association to the family.
That's true.
That's what you did. Because they had medical journals about it. They had articles and all types of books about the cells, but not the person. So what she wanted to do was like, there's a person
behind
all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I truly appreciated. So when you look at this movie, understand it's not about this white woman who shows up into these black neighborhoods and talking to white people. Because they was paranoid about her. They thought they was from Hopkins as well. They was like, I think she's being paid from Hopkins. Yeah. She said, I ain't got no damn money.
Yep,
none. She said, my credit card is overdue. I'm living off this. And she was like, you need to just stop with your craziness. You know what I mean? But she did an amazing job. And when she did the book, it was on the bestseller list for like 10
yeah, because it came out
5 years.
Yeah, it came out in 2010.
Did it?
Yeah, it came out in 2010.
So look how long this happened. If you go back, this actually happened back in 51. She died in 51. So in the 50s, and the book has a great chronological what happened during a certain year.
Yeah,
and if you go there, they have some great detail.
She was good at getting that information.
So she did that, and if you want to know exactly when it hit, and when it hit France, and when it was overseas, and then when it came back, and then when they start selling it, she had a level of detail that was pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But she did that. She was able to say, based on my experience, I have to tell her story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, and I appreciate that too. And the one main thing that through this whole situation, the book and the life experience of Henrietta Lacks, is that They did not get 1 cent.
No.
To this day.
So they have a foundation.
Yes, they do.
But the foundation isn't for the family.
No, it's not.
It was for her name. So her name will always be associated. And if they do something, they was like, this is the Henrietta Lacks Foundation. Who's Henrietta Lacks? And then you can get the
right
where it comes right from. So her name will live on, and not as Gila, but as Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah, they did. They most likely got paid for the movie, you know, because
known as Oprah.
Right.
And even though it was an HBO special.
Right.
But I thought this was a good time to come out, too, because of Hidden Figures.
Yes, because the same thing with Hidden Figures happened. Yeah. You know, you didn't know that black women
that was doing amazing things.
Yeah, so I think you're right. That was exactly a good situation to refer back to, you know.
So the movie was it wasn't lighthearted. It was kind of raw at times. The acting was average. I thought people did a decent job. But it was an HBO too, so I don't think they invested as much money on the director, because when you get better directors, you get a lot more emotion from it. You didn't get the I had more emotion reading a book than seeing the movie.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm really glad that she did it in HBO's a movie. I'm sorry, I really am glad, because one is the message has gotten out, because a lot of people don't read books.
No, and I agree. And I don't think a full motion picture, they would have got the audience to go see it.
No, they
either.
Wouldn't have. And so you may say, I mean, to me, it was a movie that put the message out to get people to see it and understand that it was a black woman that may have saved your life.
Yep, yep.
You know,
or saved millions of lives.
Right, exactly.
Or your family member or yourself.
Exactly.
Or
that's what I, that's
this
why.
This black woman. But the story was important.
Yeah,
again,
exactly.
Just like Hidden Figures.
Exactly.
The story was
exactly
important.
So to me, it didn't matter, you know, the acting. And because what she did was put a message out, because, again, it was something similar. It had to be simple for people to understand.
So I got that.
You know what?
I'm judging a movie. Not the message.
Okay.
The message I already got from the book, so I'm good.
Yeah, but we talking about those of who
for those who don't read.
Babe,
you're
come
right.
on.
You're right. You're right.
We talk about this all the time.
I know. If you want to hide something from black people, put it in a book.
Yeah, and so the thing is that, you know, she couldn't make it too complex.
And then they would have been like, I didn't understand that. But she knew she couldn't. So that's why she said, I'll play Deborah. You know what I mean? I'll play her, because I felt what she felt, and I'm an actress, and probably they said, if you're not in it, then we're not going to give you the money to do this anyway, even though I don't think she needed the money.
No, she didn't need the money.
I think she just needed it produced.
Yes, and HBO would have gave it to her anyway.
Yeah,
so
it is Oprah.
Yeah, and Oprah's,
but it was,
and
but
I think,
it was worth it, though.
Right, and I think Oprah wanted to do it, because if she's on, she was the lead actor, people will turn to the channel and watch it anyway.
Because Oprah's actually in it,
yeah,
not producing it. Yeah. Because there's a lot of stuff she's producing that you don't know about. But then there's a lot of movies she's producing that's not that good, and people will forget it because she wasn't in it.
Right, exactly.
So in this sense, she wanted to make sure people will feel it
and get
it.
And again, putting the message out.
Yeah, because the message is important.
Yeah, the message is a black woman is the one that they use for testing every goddamn thing in the world. Mm. No matter what it is that has something to do with the medical science of life.
Yep.
They use her.
They use her.
Yep.
Not these cells. Mm-hmm. They use, this is her.
Yep.
As long as you piecing a portion of a person and it's still, and you keep doing it, that's her.
Yeah, testing for AIDS.
Yep.
Oh my God. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. So all of these treatments and everything is based on a lot from this woman's cells. So they had some, what was her name? Her name was Rose Byrne, who played the freelance writer. We liked her on, what was the one with Glenn Close? That lawyer movie. She was a lawyer. And was it Glenn Close on that one? I was going to say Scandal, but it's not Scandal. I forget the name on that, but she played the lawyer on that, and she really TV show Damages.
Yeah, Damages. That's she was right.
On Damages.
Yes, that's and, right.
She was really good on that.
Yeah, she was.
And we just enjoyed her on there, and they had a couple of other people guest appearance on there, but nobody's pretty major. Leslie Uggam showed up. She's fantastic.
Oh my goodness.
It was good to see her. She's
amazing. It was great to see her. It was really great to see her.
And Courtney Banks as the pimp.
Yeah.
That's my boy there.
Yeah, he's starting to show his little self right now.
And you know, he had a lot of miscellaneous other people on there. Decent acting, decent directing of it was pretty, it was good enough. Based on an HBO special, it was good enough. I've seen like The Night Before was an amazing, but that was a series, not a movie. But there was a lot of good directing going around on HBO. She just chose someone to get the message out. So I think I'll lean on what you were saying, baby. It wasn't to make an amazing movie. It was made to put the message out.
It really was.
So and I gotta respect that. You're right. If you're gonna put it that way and to realize this was happening, she said, I can't just talk about it. Most people need it shown in a format that they can digest. And a lot of times, if it's not in a music, it's in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So she chose a movie.
And guess what? When Oprah's face is on it, it's like, oh, I want to watch it.
Oh, Oprah got a new movie out.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Oprah's movie?
Yeah. That's.
And it was like, no. Oh, it's about some woman with cancer. No, it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's more than that. And then when they see it, and they was like, I never heard that. Of course not. You don't read. If you read, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this book came out some years ago. We were in 2017, so years.
It was about 7 years ago.
Yeah, and so
we got it a couple of years after that.
We did.
Not when it was released, but just a couple of years after that.
And I mean, like I said, we read that book like in like 1.5 days. Like, yeah,
through the book because it was just hard to put down.
Yeah, it really was hard to put down,
and it was sad because again, I'm telling you, when you realize that. Some people or doctors or in the medical profession, they're looking for, in their mind, the greater good. It's for the world. We need something to help the world. They forget about the individual. Yeah, they forget about the family.
They're scientists.
Yeah, so they think about more.
They're scientists. And that's another thing, you know, we dealing with family members who are sick.
Yep.
And, you know, we're basically, our first thought is to trust the doctor. And then we realize
you can't trust them.
Fuck
bastards.
That shit. You know, I'm like,
you
what
need
the
to
hell?
Tell them.
Yeah,
you need to tell.
First
them.
Of all, I'm the doctor because I live with this person. You're just estimating what the problem is, and I could tell you for a fact this. And so, that's where you know our mind is. You know,
we're conditioned to respect authority, and with doctors and police officers and politicians. We're conditioned to respect authority. But when you come to the realization that they have their own self-interest in mind, then you can understand and say, nah.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not like that.
There's too many situations where you give them
that reveals itself.
Yeah, you give them the benefit of doubt, and then you're like, oh, you know, you just about to get a sister mad.
But it's not 100%. So please don't get me wrong that all doctors, all police officers, all politicians.
We didn't say that.
So people will jump right in and be like, yeah, he hate cops. No, I didn't say I hate cops.
It's like you get to.
I've dealt with police officers that I really respect, and I sat down and we talked about them. Well, talk to them, and they talked about their experience, and they want to improve the community. They come to you out of respect and say, look, you need to get this corrected before it gets out of hand. You just got bad people. There's bad people in the world, and there's bad doctors. And this was a big example of bad doctors taking advantage of a family that didn't know. Because even there was a portion on the show, the movie, that he said, well, these kind of people don't know what's going on anyway. I was like, these kind of people? What the fuck? So they dismiss them as not even being people. They dismiss them as others.
Yeah.
As other. So when you do that, you don't humanize the person who you butchering and taking from, because they're not considered human. That's why they said it's easy to take away a person's name and make it something other than. So it was, it's a bigger movie. It's a bigger message. So if you do see it, I hope you pull the book out. It'll give you a better understanding.
Even an audiobook. Yeah, even an audiobook.
The greatness of what happened and how her, how they used her cells to change the world.
Yeah. You know, just some, there's so many times when I think about, you know, how people are, they're trying to find a cure, you know, for something. And the first thing I think about is her cells.
Yeah. So, you know, they said, we got to, let's get one of these cell cultures to see if we can test and see if this will change it or go certain ways from that.
So, again, you know, thinking about it, you have to give her credit. You know, she'll never die.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's
immortal.
Yeah. She'll that's just an amazing thought that, you know, a black woman is immortal, you know. So, you know, just thinking about that, it's just profound to me.
And it was good to them to make a movie to
educate.
To educate.
Yep. To educate.
So bottom line, an education had to be done so people would understand that there's more to what people tell you. There's a lot more messages that's out there that's not being told. There's a lot of messages that's not being told. So,
well, I have to thank Rebecca, the writer, Slope, for writing that damn book.
Yep.
Because I'm like Michael said, is the if she didn't, nobody would ever know who she was. Nobody.
And her daughter would just go around just trying to gather stuff and with no direction.
Well, you know, she died.
Yeah.
Yeah, she died year before
the book was released. 2009.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah, 2009.
And then became a bestseller.
Yeah, because it was, again, it was an amazing book. And, you know, regardless, it should have been. It should have been credited to the family. But yeah, her name is Skloot. Skloot. I guess that's how you say it.
Yeah, I guess it's, yeah.
Skloot. But yeah, so if you get an opportunity, see it. Good movie.
Yeah, it's on HBO.
The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
So eventually you'll probably see it on some other spots and just watch it.
Yep. It's worth seeing. It's worth learning. It's worth taking the time and learning.
Yeah. Yep.
This is something that's being used today with a woman who died in 1951.
Yep.
1951.
Yep.
But she didn't die because she still lives today.
Yep.
So, anything else, Boo?
No. Like I said, it was a good book, and everybody need to either read it, watch the movie, or download the audiobook.
Yeah, just put it in your car, or if you're taking a walk, put your headphones on, check it out, and go from there. It's a good listen. It's a good read if you read. And if you take some time out of your day, check it out. That's what it's good for. So if you have that opportunity, please do. Urban Lifestyle Cafe. That's once again Alicia and I. And we hope you go to the website, bougieblackbrother.com, coffeewomenintech.com. So you'll see our tech editions, our movie editions, our TV show editions, and old car wax music and everything. But you can pick us up on Instagram as well as Twitter at Fine Black Woman. That's BLK, Fine Black Woman.
Yep.
And Bougie Black Bro.
So you find us Twitter, Instagram.
Yep.
We'll be on that.
And get us on iTunes and Google Play and subscribe.
Leave a comment. On iTunes.
Please.
On Google Play.
Make sure you do that. That helps out. You know, we could be up there so they could say, that was the greatest podcast ever.
Yes, I like that.
Hook us up. So thank you very much, and stay tuned for upcoming episodes of Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Bye-bye.
Bye.